thanks again for Linode for sponsoring this episode of the news. They've actually upped our affiliate link. So instead of getting 1 month of credit, you now get $60 of credit, which you can make last up to 3 months, I think. It's $60 or 60 days, so 2 months, I guess, of credit. So if you use our affiliate link, you can get a little bit more credit and experiment with things. They really want you to mess with that Kubernetes cluster and some of the other services like their Amazon S3 substitute, which is quite competent. You should definitely give that a spin. They've also been writing a lot of how-tos. So like setting up the WireGuard thing, which I think we can improve on. And we will soon improve on because WireGuard. They've got a lot more services today than they did previously. You should really check it out. And in fact, if you're going to do a commercial migration to like Kubernetes from Google Compute Cloud or even some of the Azure Compute services and you're using Kubernetes, come to the Level 1 forum. I'll actually help you do that. So thank you, Linode, and on with the news.
Disembodied voice, what day is it?
It's the 25th of August, and we're doing government and business together again, at last.
Again, which we've never done before.
No, I'm pretty sure we've done that before.
Have we? Weird sort this week, and this is the first time ever, and somebody actually commented on the Friday episode last week. It's like, these are barely even tech stories anymore. I was like, yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah. Listen, it's Friday. We've had a rough week. There's probably some tangential connection to technology, but we need our lulls.
So this week will be that person will be furious because it's all nonsense on Friday. There was a lot of nonsense.
I was surprised though. A lot of the nonsense this Friday is actually tech related.
I try to keep it that way, but you throw a bear story at me. That's going in.
A bear selfie sounds technologically related to me.
I can't stop myself from doing that, and I'm not going to try.
The WAP story. It's like, well, that was a Twitter trend.
Twitter,
so yeah. Kind of like tangentially tech related.
It's important to our lives. Now, the first story this week is not, well, I mean, it's primitive technology, right? But it's more of a story of redemption.
Right.
It's a story of a young lady who perhaps took on more responsibility than she was ready for and fled from that responsibility for too long, but then finally came around and did the right thing.
Look at him. Lieutenant Dangle dangles no more. He is now held up with bird netting. We tried to do pantyhose. Someone suggested that, I think, in the Twitch chat, and he just kept falling out. So we just strung up some bird netting, and now he's awkwardly slung in it.
I can't help but notice some wilting leaves.
A little brown.
That's pretty normal. Like, even before I had any pumpkins on it, the leaves will die off periodically.
So this
they grow new ones.
This is a pumpkin, not a watermelon.
Yes, everyone says it's a watermelon, but now he's starting to turn orange now. He's looking like a real pumpkin. Yeah.
When have you ever seen a ribbed watermelon?
No, that's what people were saying in the comments for like the last 3 weeks. They're like, that's a watermelon. And it's like,
that
is the perfect like YouTube comment thing. It's like, you didn't do that right. And it's like,
I mean, unless the greenhouse I got it from mislabeled it, I'm 99.9% sure that's a pumpkin.
No, see, that's the evil of the YouTube comments. They're like, you know, it's like you're questioning yourself. It's like, well, I don't know. Maybe the acceleration of gravity really isn't 98 feet per second. I don't know.
Am I wrong? Just constantly being gaslit. But, you know, he's not dangling anymore. He's
I meant
good.
9.8 meters per second. Sorry.
Oh, they've already typed.
They've already typed.
So, yeah, you do have to sort of get into a space where you learn to filter out the evil from comments from social media.
I don't know if it's as evil as much just wow. It's like, imagine half the people, how dumb the average person is, and the other half are dumber than that.
It's human nature, and that is in turn evil, I believe. My favorite one, and I know I've said this more than once, but it's every time I see it, it just shocks me, and then I see it over and over and over, is someone will ask a question about a product on Amazon, and someone will reply with, no, I don't know.
I hate that. It makes me irrationally angry. It also makes me angry.
It should. No, that's not irrational, Krista. That is pure rationality. And it's the top answer. You have to click to see the other answers.
Yeah, and Stack Overflow is that way too, where some like you'll be like, hey, I need to do this like particular thing on this like particular browser. I'm trying to fix something. And someone will be like, why are you using that? You should use this. And it's like, well, the client asked me to do it in this.
Most of the time, I just Bob Ross that stuff off. But the stuff that drives me insane that I do not Bob Ross off is like, I'm having this really obscure problem. And it's like, I read the post and I was like, yes, that's my exact problem. And then they reply with, never mind, figured it out.
Yeah.
It's like, I will hunt you down. I will find you.
What did you see, Denver Coder 909? What did you see?
So you need to tune it out. You need, and, you know, a lot of social media gives you tools to trim those people and get them out of your life. But can you be too important a public figure to use those tools? That is what's at debate, and the debate just continues to rage. We thought it was settled. It's not settled.
But it was.
Trump asked Supreme Court to let him block critics on Twitter. So if you guys haven't been following, Trump actually can't block critics on Twitter. That's because the Supreme, or the regional court, the state Supreme Court, I guess, ruled that that was a public forum. That Twitter was a public forum in this context. And they're asking to say, it's like, please no. Twitter is his private speech. It's not his presidential speech.
But he does use it to campaign.
He does a lot.
And he does say a lot of stuff about policy on there.
He does.
I mean, I would be okay, like, give him a, you know, POTUS. What is he, 45?
He often says the quiet part loud on there, too, which is sort of fun.
Give him a, you know, a POTUS, whatever number he is, and let that be President Twitter, and then let Donald Trump be Donald Trump Twitter.
I don't think he could master switching.
He wouldn't do that because he's, you know, he wants that big number. So I don't know. He definitely is trying to play both sides there. If you want to be private. Donald Trump is the antithesis of a private figure. And he loves to fight. We know that. And, you know, I understand that, you know, like, it's not really a one-on-one fight on Twitter. It's the multitudes of never-Trumpers, you know, biting at his heels constantly.
It's the worst social media platform in the history of social media platforms.
But he doesn't shy away from controversy, and certainly not when it comes to the Chinese trade war, which again has escalated.
TikTok confirms it will sue the Trump administration. The company says the president's executive order deprived it of due process. And this is the, I guess, this is not really TikTok. This is their American employees. I mean, I guess it is technically TikTok, but
the company is, you know, they're saying that, you know, it was so sudden and there was no court case.
Yeah.
Like, hey, executive order is not the way to do this. Okay, let us give a chance to, you know, respond to this and show you our side of the story. But no, it was just the stroke of a pen.
Is it really trade war, or is it, did we catch them doing something so egregiously wrong? Because
did we catch them?
Well, I mean, you know, the stuff that has been volunteered so far really isn't any worse than Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
either it's okay for everyone or it's not okay for everyone.
Last week we heard that Microsoft might be in the running to snap up old TikTok. And I think ByteDance is pretty happy to be rid of them at this point because of the controversy. But as is the case pretty often in our current administration, the good old boy network, the behind-the-scenes handshakes. If you don't know, Trump, good friends with the CEO of Oracle, which makes this somewhat unsurprising.
Trump has expressed support for Oracle to buy TikTok. The Oracle founder, Larry Ellison, is a Trump supporter and hosted a fundraiser for the president. He's also had a number of dinners, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I think even Trump's had dinner with Jeff Bezos, so I mean...
Yeah, but no, I think
Amazon buying TikTok.
I think he's more chummy with the Oracle people. I don't think he was against the Microsoft thing, but once Oracle threw their hat in the ring, he was like, yes, we'll do that.
Larry Ellison is so devious, though.
As opposed to which one of them?
As opposed to which billionaire?
Yeah. And remember the Open Technology Fund?
Oh, we've reported on this a few times.
There's a lot of controversy. And it has to do with the Trump administration wanting to sort of supplant them with their own open, not the same kind of thing, but to get the same funding.
They tried to replace executives, which is not actually technically allowed. Like, you know, the whole appointees thing? That's not allowed in their charter.
And they even went so far as to try to, like, just get them kicked out of the building the Chinese way. And none of that worked, so they've tried a new tactic.
Open Technology Fund has sued the administration for $20 million in missing funds. So the Open Technology Fund, in order to operate and maintain its charter, it needs funding, and that funding has already been apportioned, but it has not been forwarded from the U.S. Agency for Global Media. So, yeah. They're trying to do that. According to the Open Technology Fund people, this is an attempt to do an end run around the thing so that they can say they're in violation of their charter, and then they can have a new board and all that kind of stuff. But it's like the reason they would be in violation is because they haven't been funded. So it seems really dirty and underhanded.
One of their big responsibilities is supposed to be helping democracy in oppressed parts of the world through media and technology. And
think like a tour, like a hello Uyghur Muslim, have some tour.
Yeah, so they're like, listen, Hong Kong and now Belarus. This we've never been more ready, except now we have no money.
Yeah,
the bat signal is blazing in the night sky, and we have no fuel for the Batmobile. Also, this is a great image.
I hope they win, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know if they really have any repercussions. I mean, they should, because this is a dirty, underhanded way of dealing with the situation, but come on.
Well, I mean, assuming Trump doesn't win the election, wouldn't it just all fall apart again?
Yeah, you got to wonder, you know, if you're China and the escalating trade war, and it's just like, I don't know, I guess we don't respond to this until after the election, because this is insane.
You think Biden will be in their pocket?
I think Biden will respond in very much different ways.
Like letting them do what they want? Yeah. Like Google?
It's like, well, listen, they can oppress their own citizenry. We just need daily reports on what it is exactly that they're doing. And also, they need to make our laptops.
So, the big Uber-Lyft showdown was supposed to happen this past week. It didn't. Everybody was waiting. Everybody was ready to see who blinks first, and nobody had to blink.
Last-minute California ruling means that Uber and Lyft won't have to shut down on this past Friday. So, they got to stay, basically, so they don't have to comply with the ruling until there's some more court cases. I think we've got a story coming up later about how they're looking at franchising as a possible model for dealing with this.
Business section.
But they can't implement that quickly.
So, it's not over. We'll see more of that.
A franchised Uber operation. That just seems...
Even a cab company, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like probably people are taking a ton of these right now anyway.
Yeah, well, certainly. No one is doing much of anything these days, and that is hurting municipalities. Because if they can't nickel and dime you with those taxes and citations and stuff like that, it really hurts their income. And so, like any good government, when they get in a pinch, they start eyeballing the big corporations. And they say, how can we extract money from those piggy banks? And sometimes they'll take some logical leaps to get there.
Cities sues Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus claim that they owe cable franchise fees. Cities demand 5% of revenue, claim online video uses public rights of way. This article goes on to explain how this is just utterly insane. And it takes about 20 paragraphs for them to do so, because the law and the language and the terminology, none of it supports any of these conclusions by the city in their filings. So we'll see how this plays out.
The other big problem here is cord cutting. You know, we think about cord cutting hurting the cable companies, but all those taxes and fees are also getting cut. When you cut the cord, you're striking two strikes for freedom.
Nobody tell them about influencers. It's like, oh man, we need to tax influencers.
5%. I'm sure that's coming. So we had the big, in 2019, we had the big debate about the Jedi contract. Who was going to get that juicy, evil government contract? And it seemed like Amazon had it in the bag. But perhaps because someone wasn't a fan of Bezos and his newspaper, it went to Microsoft, which blew everybody's mind. And obviously gave Microsoft a shot in the arm as far as confidence, because they're like,
I've had better experiences with Azure than I have AWS.
Well, maybe the despotic governments of the world will as well.
Microsoft plans cloud contract push with foreign governments after a $10 billion Jedi win. This is from CNBC. So Microsoft here is basically just saying, hey, we think we've got what it takes. for our cloud to be able to offer these same services to foreign governments, but in a way that foreign governments can feel good about. We can deploy Azure to their local regions. We can set up whatever security policies. These are large enough contracts. We can even give those governmental entities their own infrastructure, so they're not even sharing infrastructure with the unwashed masses at large.
And they've got that institutional knowledge. It's like, hey, this is how the U.S. government oppresses its people. This is the best way to... I mean, okay.
They don't even realize they've been suppressed.
Maybe second to China. But they're out in the open with it. You know, you can't really... convince. That's apples and oranges. So...
I say, which is better in that scenario? Like, wouldn't it be better that the people don't realize they're being oppressed?
Well, we've debated that a lot. But then, you know, if you put it down on the line and you're like, would you rather live in the U.S. or live in China? I'm taking the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, at least you can kind of fly under the radar here to some extent.
Well,
if you have a large enough plot of land and you're enough out of the way of everybody, yeah.
I think if you... I lost my game of chicken with the census.
Oh, did they finally catch you?
They showed up. I dodged them twice, but they kept leaving me that little paper, and I was like, all right, I'll do it. I did it online. I didn't actually speak to a person, but they made it clear that they were not going to stop. So I just gave them a fake phone number. I'm pretty sure that's a felony, but...
criminal tip. Don't give a fake number.
So is protesting in Tennessee now, apparently. But
here's a fun story that I don't know. It's not all that surprising. I'm not sure why it had to be a headline, but it's interesting because it shows that Apple has been chummy with the government since way back when.
Ex-Apple engineer says the U.S. government may have built a top-secret Geiger counter out of an iPod. So, turns out iPods were easy to use as a counterintelligence device. Somebody would pick it up and be like, oh, that's an iPod. And they would, you know, play songs on it or whatever. But no, I was like, hey, Apple, will you help us put even more stuff inside the iPod? There's not a lot of room inside an iPod. And if you're a foreign government and you know that an iPod is a sophisticated piece of electronics, you know there's not really much room in there. So, yeah, it's like, wow, this is a... You know, we were able to pull this off and find enough room to fit a Geiger counter inside an iPod.
Why did they pick a picture of Janet Jackson on here?
Is Why not?
Does she have a song that relates to Geiger counters?
Did she even have music in 05? She was before 05, right?
Oh, you're a time traveler. You've given yourself away. This music hasn't been invented yet.
Could it be the editor just picked a random photo? I don't think so. I think there's a reason for that.
Maybe she was involved. And, you know, the TikTok thing is the hottest debate right now when it comes to the China situation. But the OG when it came to China trade war was Huawei. And that story is not over. So Huawei for a while was like, you know what? We're going to keep doing business. We think we can figure something out. Part of figuring that out might have been just to shuffle some... play a little shell game with third parties. And the Trump administration says, we're on to you.
The U.S. is tightening restrictions on Huawei access to technology and chips. So they're buying commercially available chips third party. So let's suppose that you need, you know, a modem or a digital signal processor or something. You can just go down to the local electronics emporium and just buy it in bulk. You don't necessarily, like, you just show up, you got a credit card, you pay. Just like buying groceries. They don't care. Well, when you're buying in this kind of bulk, it's sort of easy to figure out, and you can also buy the products after the fact, take them apart, and be like, "Hey, wait, where did you sell this? Here's a serial number of this chip. Who did you sell that to? Okay, you can't sell to them anymore." So it seems like the doors are closing faster than Huawei is able to create third-party shell companies.
Now, Krista, time and time again, you've taken a stand against the people of Hong Kong.
Right.
And
by continuing to play Overwatch.
I don't know why. But will you now pledge to use Notepad++ in solidarity with them?
I already use Notepad++, so that's not a big ask.
Finally.
Text editor, Notepad++ banned in China after Stand With Hong Kong update.
This seems just really petty on the part of the Chinese government.
They point out that they're not even blocking the download. Just the page that says Stand With Hong Kong. Notepad++ is in the past also supported the Uyghur people. They've poked the Chinese bear
a number of times.
Several occasions, but...
Do you get the feeling that in Hong Kong, that it literally is like, we have always been part of mainland China. And it's like, what? What about the British? The who?
Yeah,
there is like, no war in Ba Sing Se.
Yeah.
And people are like, no, but that can't be true. Point to someone who says otherwise. Yeah. And then you point and they just poof.
Yeah, they literally just disappear. They're making laptops somewhere. Not.
Well, that's the best scenario for them.
And while we may be, not great friends with China at this point, you know who really isn't good friends with China? Taiwan. And they have the same kind of seemingly petty things that they do to one another, but, probably does mean a lot in terms of the hearts and minds campaigns.
Taiwan to stop local sales for Chinese TV streaming services, but they're not going to block them. So there are Netflix-like services available in Taiwan. You can walk into a shop and say, hey, I'd like to sign up for this Netflix-type service. Taiwan is just saying, we're not going to allow in-person sign-ups for this or in-person shops to sell this. You can still do it online, but we're not going to do this locally. They're worried about propaganda, according to the article, according to Reuters.
It's funny, because China's response to that was like, you know, it's ridiculous that they're like this. This is just entertainment, and we want to serve our customers no matter where they are. This is silly. But then they follow up and make it clear that the Chinese government has banned anything produced in Taiwan from showing the mainland a long time ago. I love how they do that. Like, they know it's hypocritical. They just don't care. And this one, so this, you know, this is a bit of a stretch in terms of technology, but I feel like our audience could benefit from this in a big way.
Yeah.
We made a comment like a week or two ago and said something about unemployed 25-year-olds living with their parents.
We got a lot of comments.
We struck some chords.
A lot of engagement. The YouTube analytics, the algorithm was very pleased with your engagement.
So, hey, this is a ray of hope for you guys.
Germany is beginning a universal basic income trial with people getting $1,400 a month for 3 years. Guaranteed. You can continue working. You can stop working. They don't care. The only thing I ask is that you check in with them often and you complete questionnaires.
You call them up every day. It's like, yeah, I'm going to be sitting on the couch. I'm in season 3 of Westworld.
For $1,400 a month, it seems like that people would still work, but you would be way less stressed out.
Yes.
Now, I imagine, of course, if that's the only income you get, you're not paying taxes anyway.
Yeah.
But would that be taxed as income if I'm working?
I think that would not be taxed as income, but if you're $1,400 into the next tax bracket, then yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So there's going to be portions of the population where lose money on the net. Our tax system, if this happens.
Well, it's still a safety net, though, because, you know, if something happens to you and you get sick or whatever, you still are going to have that. So,
well, Germany, don't they have socialized medicine? So that's not really as big of a concern anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
How quickly are the rent to own places going to develop the $1,400 package?
I think I don't know. In Germany, I don't know.
Well, no, I'm saying if that happened here.
Oh, yeah.
Here, I feel like everything would inflate rapidly. Like, rent would go up, you know, food would go up, everything would just adjust to that new price. Which I don't know enough about, like, the economics of it all, but, like, has anyone ever addressed the inflation issue with universal income? Maybe, I mean, I've tried to find it, but maybe I just am ignorant and don't know where it is. But.
Yeah, you know how you address the inflation issue? You change the way you measure inflation, which we've done several times.
Yeah.
If
same way with our economy, as it turns out, stock market's doing great.
Well, that's an engagement challenge, but it seems like, you know, in the economy that we're in now, even the people that would be at the Rent-A-Center perhaps making irresponsible financial decisions are much less likely to do it in the current situation that we find ourselves in, and yet the ability of billionaires to capture all of the liquidity in the economy seems to be at an unprecedented level.
The other question is, how do you pay for it? The money in Germany.
How are we paying for anything?
The money in Germany, it was only 120 people.
Yeah.
And somebody just donated it.
Yeah.
So on a universal scale, you know, the U in universal basic income, that doesn't work. So,
well,
we'll see.
It doesn't work. It probably doesn't work to the $1,400 level. If you take the money that's going into all of our other social programs and the bureaucratic nonsense that it takes to to run them, then there is some room for some level of universal basic income spending the same amount of money.
But you would create bureaucracy to dole it out. Yeah. They pointed out they did it in Finland, and they did not see any increase in people's aptitude toward work or inclination to work. Like, giving them free money, the ones that didn't work before continued not to work. The ones that worked before continued to work. It didn't change anything.
Hmm. Did it improve their quality of life, though? Was that I'm sure it was measured, but
I don't know if they didn't mention that. I mean, I'm sure probably how could it not, right?
Yeah.
If you go to the Rent-A-Center.
Well, but you're enjoying that, you know, broken down recliner. And
Didn't Dorsey fund his own, like, experiment with this as well?
They were going to.
I don't know how that's going so far. I think now, it's only been for like 3 months.
We have programs here in the U.S. Now, this is crazy. You look this up. I don't remember the name of it. We have programs where we identify violent gang members who are out of jail but have been in jail. And then we go to them and we're like, listen, we're going to give you a monthly income. Just don't kill anybody. Can you do that? And they're like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And then we give them money. Which creates an incentive to kill people.
For other people to kill people? Yeah. I killed that guy. Can I have his money? Yeah. It's just like...
It's like when you destroy someone, you gain their power. Yeah. Hey, that would reduce the number of gang members, wouldn't it?
We've accidentally created an economic Highlander. That's not good.
Yeah, so... I mentioned Belarus before. They are having their own little episode over there. We did have somebody in the comments of the episode where we talked about that who kind of explained it to us. I'm a little bit ashamed to admit I've forgotten already. But I think, it's all about the election. Someone was elected and the people are saying, hey.
Elected was in quotation marks there.
You know, we talked amongst ourselves.
He's apparently like an old school dictator who just keeps messing with the election and people are finally sick.
The guy who was supposed to certify the election was found dead.
Did he have some of that tea?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, everything is shut down. They turned off the internet. I think it is back now, but maybe heavily censored. So, how do you organize? Well, the answer comes from modern social media, of course.
It's a Telegram revolution. Messaging app proves critical to Belarus protests. So, this article talks about how every morning there's like a laundry list of stuff you need to do. And it's like, here's the overall plan. Here's your little piece of the plan. Let's do this. And because Telegram is end-to-end encrypted and the groups are apparently not infiltrated by any kind of intelligence service or anything like that, they've been able to stay fairly well organized and fairly well ahead of the authority that's kidnapping and or murdering people, allegedly.
I think they're definitely infiltrated. So there's three big channels. I don't understand how Telegram works exactly. Do you? I guess you like, if you join a channel, you get all their messages in like a one-way thing. Yeah.
And the signal's probably safer.
Three big ones, and their subscribers have just exploded during all of this. And so they contacted the government, and they were like, are you aware of this? And it's like, yes, we are currently finding out who those three people are. Apple. Let's do a quick Apple block. Now, of course, we know Apple and their 30% rate on the App Store is that's the story of the month.
It's a nerd fight between Tim Sweeney at Epic and Tim Cook at the Battle of the Tims.
Oh, but player three has entered. Actually, this is like player five or six, right?
Because 862.
But the big names, who else was it last week? What other company was... I mean, obviously, they've already had arguments with Netflix.
And Amazon.
Amazon, yes. I can't remember.
We have a story about Amazon.
But a lot of people are angry. And
the mail. You're talking about the mail application? Hey.
No, I'm thinking it was Blue Mail.
Oh, okay.
But enough. Anyway, a lot of people. A lot of companies angry at Apple. Add one more to the pile.
WordPress founder claims that Apple cut off updates to his completely free app because it wants 30%. So the app, there's the WordPress app where you can get 3 gigabytes of free space to start your own website, and it was a subdomain of WordPress.com, and there wasn't anything you could buy through the application. There's stuff you could buy through the website, but there wasn't anything you could buy through the application. It was just point and click, let's create a web WordPress site. Pretty innocuous. And apparently this nonsense Apple's been doing for a really long time, but they didn't really get any PR because, you know, who cares about creating a 3 gigabyte website on WordPress? But a ton of other small companies and small developers like that, well, WordPress is not small, but a lot of other developers, well, they're small compared to Epic, I guess, but a lot of other developers are coming through and saying, yeah, hey, Apple was shaking us down too.
And Apple literally, so Epic was like, or WordPress was like, look, we don't sell anything. You're asking us to add transactions to this application to make you happy. It's free. Everything is free. You're asking us to add a cost to it, to our customers. And Apple is like, yes.
Well, listen, you know, Apple's only worth like $1 trillion.
$2 trillion, Krista. Krista, they're worth $2 trillion.
The market cap is $2 trillion, yeah.
And they should be worth $3.
What was it?
These little developers need to pony up the cash so they can get better returns.
I thought the marketing campaign for the Social Network movie was brilliant. It's like you don't get to 500 million friends without, you know, making a few enemies. It's just like, that's what I kept saying. And he's like, you don't get to $2 trillion without, you know, trotting on the backs of the little people.
So, unfortunately, WordPress, the spineless cowards that they are, have already capitulated. They're going to do it.
They were just like, okay, I guess, whatever.
Sad. Oops. But you know who's not capitulating? It's Epic Games. And so the big story is, you know, Epic said put the thing in the app. Apple shut them down. Epic has been retaliating in many petulant ways since then. It's going to go to court. But one interesting thing has come out in the court case discovery.
The Battle of the Thames. Apple fires back in court and says that Epic Games CEO asked for special treatment. Oh my goodness. So Apple is saying that Epic is acting in bad faith because Apple would not give them special treatment, and Apple never engages in special treatment. The platform rules are the same. Everybody must obey the same rules.
So they're saying he was asking for a side letter that would create a special deal for only Epic that would fundamentally change the way Epic offers apps on the platform. Basically, they wanted Fortnite and the Epic Store and all that to have their own app store. So like, you're not allowed to have a store within a store, but they wanted a special excuse to have that on the iOS, and Apple said no, and then everything went to hell. So we'll see. Epic in the meantime, as I said, have been doing a lot of childish things that are hilarious. And you gotta give it up, when it comes to the PR campaign, I think they're winning. Especially, yeah, among the young people.
Yeah. Epic to host a free Fortnite tournament with anti-Apple prizes. Now, this hasn't happened at the time we're recording this. Unless you're on Patreon, by the time you're watching this, this probably will have already happened.
It's going to be tonight.
Ooh.
You can win. Now, get ready.
Or float plane.
Not only are you going to get... So, they're giving away... Basically, they're giving away gaming hardware from every company that sells it except for Apple. Which is great. And if you win this... Actually, you might not have to win it, but if you are, you know, I guess get a good position or whatever, you get this sweet exclusive skin.
the Apple suit person. Interesting. This is amazing.
How many players does Fortnite still have? Is that still the...
Yes, it's still,
enormous. Very popular. Yeah.
Wow. Well, the application has not been turned off. You just can't download it for new devices. And to add insanity to insanity, there are iPhones that still have Fortnite loaded on them that are being sold on eBay for over $10,000.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's popular not even like with just kids though. Like, I know people who are my age who don't play any other video games, but they play Fortnite like religiously on their phones.
You know, there's going to be an iOS update that nukes that, and people are going to lose their mind.
Probably it's going to happen when their developer certificates are revoked.
And that is where we're going with the next story, because the Unreal Engine is at the heart of many games, not just Epic's games. They license that. A lot of the games you play are Unreal Engine. And you need the cooperation from the operating system developers to make that work, especially Apple, who, you know, locks everything down. So Apple said, it'd be a shame if your developer licenses were to expire and you weren't able to renew them.
Apple threatens to terminate Epic Games developer accounts on August 28th. So I guess we're going to get an update and see if that happened. I don't know to what extent this would affect, if at all, third-party games. I've read some reports that say that there's not going to be any effect on third-party games at all, and I've read other reports that say this is going to make it harder for third parties to develop, but don't know.
I'd say it's up to Apple.
I would say that Epic will be able to get a TRO against Apple, meaning that they will not... It'll be a temporary restraining order, meaning that that Apple will not be able to revoke those certificates by a court order. That should be pretty easy. Because it's, you know, potentially irreparable harm, depending on which way the court case goes.
So, Apple's major defense in all of this, if every time someone makes an inquiry, one of these reporters makes an inquiry, they get, you know, the form letter back, and it always says...
Everybody's the same.
We treat everybody the same. Everybody gets the same deal.
It's our platform.
And you go, okay, it sounds like you do. I mean, even when these big players come to the table and they want special treatment, they get pushed away. Except for maybe the biggest player.
Publishers ask Apple CEO for the same App Store deal given to Amazon. Yeah, Jeff Ooh. Bezos. So the deal with Amazon and the deal with Jeff Bezos is different 15%. Than everybody else.
Half.
Ah, it's 15% initially and 0% in follow-up.
And everybody else is 30-15.
Yeah.
So it keeps reducing by 15% based on how many billions of dollars you have. Actually, he's got way more than that. That math doesn't check out. But yeah, so that's a little bit embarrassing for them because they have really pounded that. We treat everybody the same hammer, but they don't.
Also, really, I can't wait. You know, with the whole WordPress thing, I mean, how long until they're demanding of, like, I'm using the eBay app. They want 30% of eBay commissions. Or, you know, I use the Apple app to find the nearest gas station. They want 30% of that transaction for me to buy gas.
The question of how long will it be? The answer is as soon as they think about it.
The eBay app has been blocked because I bought something on the eBay app on my phone.
Or maybe the millisecond that the Epic one, they went in court.
I was just trying to Venmo you $30 and now it's $33. What? Oh, that's 10%. $39?
So, yeah. Amazon gets a special deal because they are a juggernaut and, you know, they're only getting stronger because the longer the world languishes in a pandemic and a lockdown, Amazon just keeps soaking up our dollars. And I'm so guilty.
Yeah.
I can't wait to collect my packages there downstairs.
Yeah.
And so if you're hurting for a job, you know, maybe give in to the evil empire. What else are you going to do?
Amazon will add 3,500 tech and corporate jobs across 6 U.S. cities. One of the sets of jobs is in New York, which was the former department store headquarters for somebody. And WeWork owned it briefly, and then it was like, oh yeah, pandemic. And so then WeWork wanted to get rid of it, but it was a $1 billion office space in New York.
So, all you job hunters.
Dallas, Detroit, Denver, New York, Phoenix, and San Diego. It's a 900,000 square feet of office space.
You know what also is probably true of all those places except Detroit? Much cheaper housing.
I'm concerned that only 3,500 people are going to require 900,000 square feet of office space.
Well, the 600,000 was that building.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they were just like, we'll have that building, yes. I don't think they're going to fill it up.
A fine maybe, collection.
Maybe everybody's going to have like a 10,000 square foot office.
Jeff Bezos is wealthy enough that he could have a menagerie of poor people from every city. And it's like, oh, here's our native San Diego. It's their native habitat. And it's just like...
They got those like zoom lenses on a pole that you put a quarter in, and you can watch them shoot up and shit themselves.
It's like, it's like it looks like they're shaking. It's like, yeah, so we have fresh meth flown in every morning from San Diego.
The finest meth.
It's surprisingly dark for me.
1 in 20 capsules is half filled with capsaicin, and that's the most exciting time of the day. The other thing that's going on right now is colleges are going back. Students are going back to schools.
And then they're going right back home.
Yes, it's yep. not working out. And a lot of them are saying, okay, we're going to do all online, but we've already got your money, and it's the same price if it's all online. And people are like, what? How can that be? I mean, part of what we're paying for is the grounds and the buildings and the beautiful, rich experience of college, you know, binge drinking and unprotected sex. We don't get any of that when you're charging us the same amount of money. People are upset. And so one tech company saw that and said, oh yes, How can we not only make money from this, but build our empire from the ground up?
Google has a plan to disrupt the college degree. Google's new certificate program takes only 6 months to complete and will be a fraction of the cost of college. It's like $300 a month. And it's more, this is more like a vocational program than college, but, you know, in this economy, maybe that's not unwise.
They'll give you certificates, and they claim they can put you right into a job. If things get back to normal, and they keep this, and they, like, move some of it onto the Google campus, they're going to be people who are smart, but, you know, like, not ambitious. They're going to go from high school to Google and just never leave. Mm-hmm. The rest of their life is just going to be a Google life.
Yep.
And Google is going to get so much benefit from that.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm noticing, so it mentions like three different positions, project manager, data analyst, and UX designer. And I'm like, man, UX design directly from Google would be cool. But then I'm like, what if it's the designer who did Google Analytics?
Oh, no.
What if that's who you're learning from?
No.
Oh, no.
No, Krista, there's a book that's by the original UX designer for Google from like the time that they were like 11 employees up through like 2006. And her book is just a horror show about how all the nerds were like, okay, this design looks amazing. Like, my instinct is this design looks amazing, but we want you to empirically explain to us why this design is better than this other design. And they made her do like A-B testing of like two different colors to empirically prove that one design was better with a slightly different shade of blue.
Are you saying that because you know that we've kind done of that?
Sorry, Krista.
I wouldn't mind being able to do that more often. Like, most clients don't want to pay for that, but like, like, at the same time, you have to wonder, like, do you really get that much more benefit? Is it like a 0.1%
benefit? No.
Yeah.
It's a Sisyphean task for sure.
There have been plenty of times where we've looked at websites on the news and we're like, look at this trash website. And then we just go on to read the story. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's got the information I want.
It does matter a little bit in that if you open more than four news site tabs, the browser gets weird and crashy. I noticed that more than the design.
Well, that's not the UI person's fault. That's the marketing team. So Android is doing something interesting. Of course, if you hate the walled garden lockdown world of Apple, then you want to go to Android and Google's ecosystem in comparison, which is kind of like the Wild West during one of the smallpox outbreaks. You know, it's a give and take. But they're trying their best to make it a little more secure.
Android 11 is taking away the camera pictures. What? Oh, wait. It's to limit potential geotag hijacking. It turns out that if you give a third-party application access to the camera, it is able to exfiltrate a ton of data from your device. Think about it. Accelerometer, because you might need the accelerometer for taking a panorama photo. Geotagging, because you might have geotagging turned on. And Android is not sophisticated enough to really tell what the intent of the application is. So if the intent of the camera application is to just harvest all of your data, there's nothing that they can really do. If your application happens to use one of those third-party libraries, like if you're just, you know, an innocent developer, but it's like, hey, I found a free library that's going to help me with some image processing, but it has some of that geotagging BS built into it, it could be reporting to a third-party API, which we've reported on before, and you'd never know as the developer of that application. So Google sees that they've got no choice but to limit the camera application to one that can be trusted. I think this is going to be an allegory for all Android applications in general.
They need
I want
to do
a third-party keyboard. Wait, why is it connecting to China?
They need to do the notification thing that Apple did.
Yeah.
That's the answer, really.
That's the beginning of the answer.
So, yeah, I guess if you enjoyed using those third-party camera applications, sorry.
I can't. I really want that level of notification for all things in my life. It would be amazing. It's like I go to use the coffee pot and it's just like, oh yeah, it's reporting to the cloud. Oh, I can see it checking my clipboard. Why is the coffee pot checking my clipboard? That seems weird.
Why are you copying text with your coffee pot? That's the real question.
The printer says that it's ready for an update on the screen. That's neat because I disabled its access to the internet.
We've talked a lot about future cars, things like Teslas. they are pushing the industry, although in a lot of ways it seems like the industry is only picking up the worst parts of the Tesla. That being the non-optional and incredible spying that the car will do on you. I remember I reading about Johnny Depp's wife. What's her name?
Can't remember.
Ex-wife. Her mom, so she dated Musk for a while. Her mom claimed that Elon Musk gave her a Tesla as a gift, but it was filled with microphones to spy on her. That's like, no, sweetheart. Everybody's Tesla has that. That's just how they work. Yeah, it's spying, but it's built to do that.
Yeah.
And so Toyota saw that, and they were like, yeah, we want some of that. And often, as is the case, it's not Toyota's not telling about this as a press release of like, oh, our cars are going to spy on you. They're talking about their partnership, which we can infer that this is going to happen.
New Toyotas will upload data to AWS, Amazon Web Services, to help create customer insurance premiums based on driver behavior. Connected car vision has been in first gear for years. Cloud scale could jumpstart plans. This is the Register. So the Register writer sort of gets it that this is getting to be a little bit dystopian, but Toyota is basically saying, hey, what if we can send all of our telemetry on these vehicles to the cloud? What, how is that monetizable? Is that a new vector for stuff? And it turns out, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. When imagine? You've got that level of information on people, you can tell, you know, do they go to Walmart? Do they go to Kroger? Where do they go for shopping? How long is the car parked? How many miles? Where does it go? Tons of consumer data.
Yeah, that's going to be a nightmare. And every car company will follow suit.
Yeah.
Because Toyota will make so much money from that.
It's going to be, everyone's going to want dumb cars now.
You know who's going to suffer from this? Those people selling license plate tracking data.
We don't need it anymore.
That's a middleman now.
Yeah.
Airbnb. Well,
I was gonna say you, because you have fancy new car, but.
Yeah, believe me. If I decide to buy that, once the lease is up, I'm thinking about plucking that OnStar right out of there.
The only person I know that has a Tesla has already rooted it and removed the ability to connect to it over the cellular connection.
But doesn't that ruin the updates?
Yeah, it was already on the naughty list for other reasons.
Mm. Yeah, it's unfortunate. And if you ever want to sell it,
yeah,
it's going to screw you.
You can only sell it as salvage in that scenario.
So Airbnb, they have been having a bad time because people are not traveling and actually people are vacationing, which is just crazy, but not as much. It's down quite a bit. And the whole idea of, like, you know, renting workspace and stuff like that, it's just not happening, which makes this headline just bizarre to see. I really was blown away by this.
Airbnb has confidently filed to go public. TechCrunch's use of confidently there means that they're thinking what we're thinking. Like, what?
What does... Is that their logo?
Yeah.
Yes, that is their logo.
That's a paperclip.
Is it, though? It's a bent
paperclip? Yeah, when this launched, this rebranding a couple years ago, everyone was like, that looks so unfortunate. The rest of their branding's really sleek, but the logo is...
Wait, why is it unfortunate? Is it because it's feminine?
So when I read the comments on this logo when it first launched, all the designers, it was like everyone saw a different piece of genitalia. And it was like, what does that say about you? Like, is there some sort of quiz? Like, what is your personality like depending on what genitalia you saw in the Airbnb logo?
Isn't that, couldn't that be a good thing though?
I guess, but it was kind of, everyone was just confused about it.
You're going to go on a romantic getaway to somebody else's house? You know, there's going to be some sexy time. You see the logo and you're like, yes. It's reinforced.
Someone else's house.
I think it's supposed to be like an abstract roof line with a door, but I don't know.
We're going to have some adventures and I'm not going to be the ones to clean the sheets.
But, you know, we're going to have adventures in a place where hundreds of others have already had the same adventures.
That's even more exciting. What are you talking about?
It's like one of those soups that's just, it keeps going for hundreds of years and you just keep adding new stuff to it. Yeah. So, as we alluded to earlier, Uber and Lyft are in a bit of a pickle in California now. For now, the stay of execution has been granted. Things are going to keep going along as normal, but they're running out of borrowed time. They have to do something. And they have asserted they cannot make money if they have to treat those people as regular employees. They will just have to shut down. But perhaps there's another option.
Uber and Lyft consider franchise-like model in California. It's like you two can now start your own Uber or Lyft franchise. See, with a franchise, you know, you buy the rights to use corporate materials and say, I own a blank restaurant, or I own a, you know, blank...
Wendy's.
Huh?
Wendy's.
Yeah, yeah. So, it would be like that. It's like, I'm an Uber franchise. Okay.
I don't understand. So, if the Uber drivers are already cut to the bone on what they make, where does your cut come from?
No, I think that, see, it ends up being sort of an owner-operator franchise, which is unfortunately what they make truck drivers do a lot of the time.
But will they give... Oh, so the individual owns...
Yeah.
So it's like buying a taxi cab medallion from New York City.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Which takes years to pay off.
Yeah, this doesn't benefit any of the drivers. This absolutely benefits Uber and Lyft, but...
It's also, like, truck drivers. I think truck drivers, at least, I don't know about in California, but I know some truck drivers, and they're screwed by the whole owner-operator thing because they're basically responsible for their own truck. And it's like, oh, I make tons of money. And then it's like, oh, wait, insurance and unemployment and then the truck and then the thing and then the other thing and then the blah, blah, blah. And then they actually make less than they would just being paid as a commercial driver.
They just get screwed because they get all the responsibility but none of the, like, major profit.
I suppose what you're buying here is to be included on the app, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is value, I guess, to that. But there's... How much value?
$5. You can be a Lyft driver for just $5. Or you can watch this ad.
We can't make money unless we exploit our workers. But they're not our workers. We don't want to pay them, you know.
I think they're better off not being workers. Because you can... I mean, Uber does give you the ability to completely work on your own schedule and do your own thing and turn it off whenever you want. No other job gives you that.
Well, if you own a Wendy's franchise, you could definitely close the restaurant whenever you want. It just might not be good for the bottom line.
Can you, though? I mean, they're very restrictive.
A lot of part-time jobs, you can work, you know, you tell them your schedule up front. And, like, yeah, you have to work a certain number of hours, but, like, you have some flexibility there.
But that's Uber. You don't have
to. A lot of complaints, Wendy's is definitely going to shut you down.
Yeah, they're going to take it. I'm sure there's some rules about... I bet you can't set your own hours.
There's
because they want that constant.
There's also that those stories that we did on the franchises where the franchise owners that took pride in a lot of what they were doing would source better materials than what corporate gives them access to, and were still making money and doing well, and corporate was like, no.
And I know, so Chick-fil-A, you can franchise a Chick-fil-A for like 10 grand, but they basically own you after that. And you do have to work a certain number of hours as the manager. The owner has to be the manager, and you have to clock in a certain number of hours.
Wow.
You basically work for Chick-fil-A. And they take like 50%.
That sounds like a racket. Just a different kind of racket.
Yeah, exactly. But also, the acceptance rate for Chick-fil-A franchisees, I guess, is lower than Ivy League colleges. It's harder to get a Chick-fil-A than to get into Yale. Yeah.
Well, listen, Yale, things have changed the last few years. Yale just wants your money.
And finally, do you remember everybody had a bad taste in their mouth years ago because we were all excited about VR and Oculus was like the flagship of VR. And it was like, oh, Facebook bought it. And everybody was just like, oh, God, they're going to ruin it. And they were like, nah, don't worry. We're going to let Oculus keep doing their own thing. We love what they're doing. It's, you know, the Facebook owns it, but we're not going to make it Facebook. We're not going to do that to it.
You'll need a Facebook account to use future Oculus headsets. Support for a separate Oculus account will end in 2023. But if you're creating a new account, I've got some bad news for you.
Going to have a Facebook account.
Not interested.
Oh, man, if only there was a competing company to make VR headsets.
Oh, that's right. There is the other company. Steam. I guess Steam's the big dog now, right?
Vive.
Oh, yeah, Vive. Yeah, if I were going to go VR, I'd have to go Steam.
There have been a couple of times during the thing where it was like, I could go for some more Beat Saber.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Beat Saber's fun.
That was a good time. It wasn't bad. It wasn't $1,000 good.
No.
But yeah, put those puppies on sale. Maybe 400, maybe.
I felt there's been a few that have popped up on eBay for like $300, but they look like they've been to hell and back.
See, but that's used VR headset does not interest me. Because I remember the way we sweated into that.
There's yeah. different levels of used, and the ones that are at my price point where it looked like they were used by that Mike Myers character on... yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
This was used in the waiting room of an unair-conditioned Louisiana brothel. But it's in good shape.
$300, and it's like...
even now, it's like it's worse now, because it's like, oh, it could be a Rona headset.
Well, we can fix that with some... I still have some Lysol wipes. Oh, they're just out of frame, but...
You can quarantine it. You know, just, don't open the box for however many days.
When we played on the VR headset, and, like, we were using Lysol wipes between each of us, and now it's like, man, to just throw them away so
can... Oh, yeah. It was a simpler time.
We are down to the last two cans of Lysol wipes here at the office.
I managed to catch a restock at Meijer one time during all of this. But they got the lime. They only had the green ones, the lime scented ones, and their lime scent is really offensive. I don't know how they got that wrong.
Must be a different formula, and they're just using lime as a cover scent.
It's a patent, and they're like, we can't make it exactly like theirs, so I just add some crap to it. I don't know. Tomorrow's going to be so much. Tomorrow's going to be everything else except it's going to be social and security and robot all in one episode, and then just off the rails nonsense Friday.
All right. I'm looking forward to Friday because it's just going to be insane.
Krista, give us a proud because she finally accepted her responsibilities, Pumpkin Mom goodbye.